contest.
Who are you?
We are three wise men.
Well, what are you doing creeping out of the cowshed at 2 o'clock in the morning? That doesn't sound very wise to me.
We wish to praise the infant.
We must pay homage to him.
We were led by a star.
Led by a bottle of all right? Go on out.
Well, we must see him. We have brought presents.
Out!
Gold, frankincense, myrrh.
Well, why didn't you say he's over there?
London.
Well, I'm joined by two rather auspicious, well, one old podcaster and one still current podcaster. So here we are at the Museum of London, at the London Calling Clash exhibition, which I think was going to be, hopefully it's going to be rather good. Yeah, what does London Calling mean to you? Anything? Nothing?
Very small children, nappies.
Right.
Steamy kitchens. Right. No music. I never got out to music for about 5 years while the kids were tiny.
You'd finished being your road manager by this time, hadn't you?
Yeah. I mean, I'd been in London and around King's Road and all the punk scene.
Yes.
When that was happening. I'm really looking forward to it, I must say.
Yeah. And you, Rolly?
It was, I mean, for the Clash, for me, I didn't really discover the Clash until sort of quite late on. I mean, the first album that I actually listened to was Combat Rock.
Right.
And when I first heard that, I thought, who are the Clash? I never had really... I mean, I'd heard of the song London Calling, but it hadn't really stuck with me anyway. And so I had to backtrack for a lot of this stuff. This was one of the albums which... oddly enough, my parents had in their collection.
Right.
And I thought, this is a bit bizarre, compared to Frank Zappa and Beethoven and, you know, Holst and things like that, which were in the collection. So listening to this, I thought, this is really rather very different to what we've had in the household. Yeah. So I had to listen back to it. And
so you said you sort of backtracked to it.
Yeah.
But you backtracked when you heard it at that time.
Yes.
So it obviously meant something.
Yes,
something
it did.
Registered that,
it
that
did. I mean, it was sort of... Well, I mean, all of it. I mean, all of Clash's stuff has always been a question-everything moment. Even sort of their silly songs like Should I Stay or Should I Go Now is, you know, makes you think. And so, listening to Combat Rock, I was thinking, well, where do these people come from? Why have they... decided to speak out like this. So going back and then sort of going back to 78, 79, the punk era and things like that gives you an idea of how society was. I mean, I was only 7 years old when in 78, so I mean, that kind of stuff, it just goes over your head and you don't know.
But that looking back and sort of picking up on where it was then, I've never been into history, but somebody did point out to me that things are the way they are because they got that way.
Yeah.
And if you understand how things got that way...
Then you can understand how the Clash dealt with and how you can deal with even the stuff going on now, how it's paralleled with the stuff in the late 70s and early 80s. I was actually talking to Vinny from Agnostic Front the other week, who's a New York City hardcore band. They started the hardcore scene, the hardcore metal scene, and they're just finishing off their 40th anniversary of one of their albums. And I said, do you see parallels in America about what's going on there now with Trump and everything else, and what was happening at the time in the early 80s with the Reagan regime and everything else? And he says, fucking hell, yeah. And you can see it paralleling over here as well now. So whether we're going to get a resurgence of bands which are going to be similar to the Clash or not, I'm not 100% sure.
Infrastructure perhaps isn't there anymore. I mean, the venues are not there.
No, the whole music thing now has changed since the rawness of the 60s and 70s. A lot of it now is electronic. You sit in your bedroom and you plunk on a keyboard and things like that. There's not as much activism going on, certainly in the pop scene.
And that activism maybe requires people to actually be face to face in the same room, creating a vibe, creating an anger.
And I'm not entirely sure whether that's happening. I've not seen anything happen over the past couple of years which gives me the thought that, there's going to be some band or some group or something like that which is going to leap out of this, much like the Clash did back in the late 70s.
I mean, the leap then, when the Clash first came out and when the Sex Pistols and all the other sort of punk things, it was very quick. Because, I mean, 75, I was still into prog rock. Mm. And then I'd never heard of this stuff. And then 76, I was just about... here in this underground, what was it? And then 77 was when it all took off and it became because they had a Svengali or two to push them. Have we got any Svengalis out there now pushing this sort of new stuff that's got an attitude, if it hasn't arrived yet? I mean, are we just waiting for it to happen? You know, two more years of Boris, what's going to happen?
Maybe we haven't seen it yet. Maybe in the next 12 months we'll see something pop up. But I think certainly if the Clash were around now, they'd certainly be screaming from the rooftops, just as they were then.
That's what I need, a bit more screaming from the rooftops.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, let's go in. What do we think of London Calling exhibition then?
It was really fascinating.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised that the bass guitar that was on the actual album cover still actually exists. I thought that that would have been done away with a long time
ago. Immediately, yeah.
Or at least got off in fragments and
thrown almost to the
like religious relics.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's nice to see that actually in a case there.
Ooh.
I mean, I did point out that the American, they had a copy of the London Calling album with a note on it saying that lyrics on this album might be offensive to sensitive ears. And that reminded me of the PMRC back in the mid-80s.
Yeah.
Mid-80s, early 90s, sort of trying to label, you know, the parent guidance advisory stickers.
You know, 40 years ago, how did they know to keep all that stuff?
Somebody must have had a good idea that
somebody must have thought,
Well, I suppose they broke quite quickly, didn't they? I mean, they'd done all the sort of the background stuff, but then when they did break, it was quite a rapid.
Yeah.
I think it was the
gone beyond the threshold where you have to keep everything because you know everything's going to have
a lot of that stuff, I expect, especially the sort of set lists for gigs and things like that. There was a small clutch of those, I noticed. I mean, must have been kept from diehard Clash fans back in the day. I've been given to the exhibition specifically for that. I'm sure there's a lot of fan submissions to that.
I suspect artists that write lyrics will probably keep records of lyrics. Yeah. I mean, like for example, Teenage Kicks.
They might throw the whole notebook away.
Do you know the Teenage? You know, you must know the Teenage Kicks story.
No.
John Peel's favourite song from the Undertones, Teenage Kicks. The guys that wrote it still had the original copy, so they gave it to him for his 65th birthday.
Oh wow!
And he was just completely gone.
I bet
he was gone.
I bet.
Could not believe it. And they just all wanted to have it because it had meant so much to him. It's sort of a two-way thank you, isn't it?
That's for sure.
So what are we doing then? What's life like with you these days, Rob?
Podcasting wise, still going, still a weekly show, now syndicated on Hard Rock Hell Radio, I get that. In fact, I broadcast the show live before it becomes a podcast.
That's how you do it.
So even though it's pre-recorded, and in fact I've got between now and I think the first show in January already pre-recorded, they go on Hard Rock Hell Radio first on a Friday lunchtime, which is a bit of a bizarre spot for the stuff that I play.
But then the clue's in the name, really, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
If people are going to listen to that station, aren't going to be expecting the Osmonds and greatest hits and a phone in.
Yeah. I would have thought my show would have been better off fitted around midnight or something like that.
I
like everything still. I mean, I still listen to PCP, still listen to the Budcast, so I still get my
fix of
Indian electronica and Polish klezmer and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, of course the children play what they want to play in the car as well. It gives me the opportunity to listen to something different as well.
Yes.
But I don't think pop music has changed all that much. There are certainly parallels in every generation.
I suppose what I was wondering was about the age of the people that are going to be a bit more than moved by music, but actually provoked by music,
yeah.
And provoked into action,
yeah.
By music, political action by music.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that age group is different now.
I don't think there is that at the moment.
Maybe it's not an age-related thing. Maybe it's just an attitude thing that people will pick up on it. And that might mismatch them with the music. I'm just thinking old gits like me. Am I going to be provoked by music into taking action? More action?
Well, you will. You are. You do take action. You've been on marches and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I haven't. I mean, primarily because I can't really afford it. But, I mean, I'm there emotionally.
Yeah.
I think there are certain people that will be provoked.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't. I went to university not being provoked.
Was the group of what got provoked? The youth would take to the streets.
Yeah, I mean, I went to university in 79 when
take to the streets.
Sorry, I wasn't saying. I went to university in 79 when the calling came back, and I wasn't provoked. What provoked me eventually was the Falklands War. Was all the jingoism and the anti-Argentinian crap that was coming out, and they got you when they sunk in Belgrano. That's what motivated me to become bloody bold. And I've never been, you know, and I remember going to work and people saying to me, oh, you know, it's all very well being a young man, angry young man rather, wait until you get older. You'll become a conservative. And I thought, okay, let's see what happens. And I've just turned into an angry old man.
We're still waiting.
Hurry!
So, welcome indeed to PCP 630. Seems a long time since we started the podcast, but this is the first time I'm actually talking to you live. Yes, we had a rather interesting and rather fun weekend last weekend, or on Saturday certainly, when I met up with Mr. Clitheroe and Mr. Cutler. And we had a good long chat about London Calling, the exhibition and various podcast things and stuff. We didn't have rabbit on. We rabbited on an awful lot, so I really did quite judiciously, shall we say. But that was rather interesting, some of the conversations we had. It was nice to see Ro. I hadn't seen Ro in probably about 3 years, something of that nature. And it was very, very good indeed. And of course, before we heard anything, we heard London Calling, the 12-inch mix, the reggae version by Dubmatics, which of course came from the Shatter the Hotel album, which goes back to 2010. I can't believe it was 2010. Rather nice podcast in 2010, we did, and really enjoyed it. That featured Don Letts and Dan Donovan on vocals and stuff as well, and you can find that more about that at dubmatics.com. Absolutely fantastic. And then after that, we had the discussion with Ro, and then we got onto Harry Ball, the original version, by Dub Curtain All Stars and Jai Utta. You can find Dub Curtain All Stars at Dub Curtain All Stars. That's KIRTANTAN, allstars.bandcamp.com, based out of Los Angeles and California in the US, and picked that up from Bandcamp. So, after all that excitement, let's go on to the rest of the normal podcast, if anything can be considered normal in this podcast. This is Boom by Point. Thank you.
has all the finality of a suicide note without the actual obligation of topping yourself.
Two very interesting tracks there, the first of which was Boom by Point. You can find Boom at actually can't find much about Boom. He's from Germany, as is Digital Diamonds record label, at digitaldiamonds.bandcamp.com, and I picked him up from that. And then after that we heard something by Dollar Signs, and when it says, honestly, Dollar Signs, I mean, when he puts himself online, it's just literally a number of dollar signs. I think it's about six. But if you want to find the website address, it's DLLR SGNS, which of course is dollar signs without any vowels, .bandcamp.com. And the track was, I think, called Tokyo Drift. And that comes from Lost Frog Records at lostfrog.net. Here's something rather nice, and here's something I'm sure the Clash would be rather pleased with. A fairly political band called Motihari Brigade. They're from Bloomington in Indiana in the US, and this is called Power From Below.
nowadays, everyone's at it.
Two more tracks there for you. The first of which was Power From Below by Motihari Brigade. You can find them at mbrigade.com from Bloomington, Indiana in the US. I picked it up Story Amp, rather enjoyed that. And then we had something from Starfrosh, which you can find at starfrosh.com from Bern in Switzerland. And that track was called Dead Frosh. But the S in the sh bit at the end is a 5. So it's Dead Froh 5H, if you want to call it that. Right, the next track is Reborn by Rog from Bombfoot Records. Thank you.
that was Reborn A. I'll put it in brackets, I'm not quite sure. It's like Reborn A, Reborn B, and Reborn Remix, I think was in the three tracks on the album, by Rog, R-O-J, no, R-O-G, from New York City in the US on Bumpfoot Records at bumpfoot.net. Any more than that, I know nothing, but I rather like the track. So there you go. Right, as it's a rather short podcast, because I've had a lot of chatting, we've got one last track. It's track number 9. It's called Acid 162 by CDR, and you can find CDR at cdr1234.bandcamp.com. From Tokyo, Japan, also on Lost Frog Records at lostfrog.net. I hope you enjoy it. It's rather crazy, but then again, so am I. I will be back next week with my mix of the best of 2019. It will be, as usual, a bit different. It'll be a mix. It'll be less of me talking. Probably just as well, you're thinking. Probably just as well. But anyway, I will see you in the new year. Have a happy, happy Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever else you you celebrate out there. Have a wonderful time. Have a nice new year, and we'll come back next year and we'll start all over again. See you soon, folks. We'll be right back.
dear listener, if this lot start bad-mouthing me while I'm away, you will let me know, won't you? Because revenge needs to be had.
Right.
Okay, behave yourself, boys.
Revenge is best served wet. It's nice to see Clithers again. I haven't seen him in years.
The thing I like about Clithers is, even though he's 10 years older than me, the bastard's wearing rather well.
Yes,
he's still looking good. He is wearing extremely well, and I hate him. I rang him up the other day, and he says, "Oh, I'm in the hairdressers." I said, "You bastard."